Hey, filmmakers, it's Herschel Zahn back at you twice in 1 week. How about that? You're listening to us at filmaspire.podomatic.com. You can also check us out at iTunes, keyword Film Aspire, and all of our episodes are archived at renegadeartproductions.com. Want to give a special shout out to some of our show sponsors, as we always like to do here at the top of the show. Want to give a big shout out to the Fright Night Film Festival and Fandom Fest, which is the same show happening at the Galt House, June 29th, 30th, and July 1st here in Louisville, Kentucky. You can get more information there on that show at FrightNightFilmFest.com and FandomFest.com. Big names, big movies, got over 100 independent and micro-budget films going to be happening there, and lots of celebrities, lots of seminars, authors, tattoo artists, body painters, you name it, we've got it going on in the show. It's huge. So please come out and join us if you're in the area. If you're not in the area, planes, trains, and automobiles, get into this city. It's going to be one of the biggest shows that is going to be growing exponentially over the next couple of years, and if you are not part of it now, you're going to wish you were. So, Dragon Con, Comic Con, whatever. Come to the Bluegrass State. Check out this show. I'm not, and if any of those other festivals are listening, I love you all. I just have to promote my show. You know how it works. Our other sponsor is the Acting for Your Life program with the lovely Miss Catherine Ray Furrow. You can head over to actingforyourlife.podomatic.com and hear all of her inspirational and educational words on the business of acting. And you can also find out information about the Acting for Your Life program, workshops, classes, view testimonials, and see some of the graduating videos from some of our other courses at actingforyourlife.org, our newly minted, fresh, shiny, new website. So head on over to actingforyourlife.org, and you can see all of that awesome information. So I have a question for you, Mr. Microbudget Filmmaker. In what ways do you share your wealth? And you're saying, huh? I'm a micro-budget filmmaker. I don't have wealth. I make movies on the weekend with my friends, and I pay them in beer. I don't have wealth. Yes, you do. Yes, my friend, you have a lot of wealth, whether you know it or not. Okay? Wealth is not necessarily money. Money helps. You know, we've talked about this extensively on the show in the past, but money does help. Films happen. There's no doubt. The big guys can't do a film without money. And I've actually talked to people who have been in the industry for years and years and years, and I try to explain to them what the micro-budget concept is. And there have been certain individuals, I have friends in Hollywood, that when I explain the concept to them, they can't even say the words micro-budget together in reference to a film. They literally cannot keep the concept in their mind because they're so used to films costing hundreds of thousands of dollars to make. So the idea of us doing what they do with millions of dollars worth of budget is a foreign concept. It's like I'm speaking a foreign language. So what is your wealth? What are you worth? Okay. Your wealth is broken up into many, many different areas of concern. Okay. So let's talk about them. Number one is your knowledge, what you know. Okay. What do you know about filmmaking? Are you a great director of photography? Can you work your DSLR camera and make magic happen? That's awesome. Are you a great gaffer? Can you light a scene well? If you have a director or a director of photography that knows what they want in the scene and they can direct you and you know how to work electricity and make the small 120 socket run all the lights that you need and not blow everything up, that's awesome. That's wealth. That is wealth. Are you an editor? Are you a musician? Can you make music? Can you sing? Can you put the sound effects together? Can you do all that post-production work? Are you an After Effects genius? Are you one of these guys that can just look at a computer interface, tinker with it for 5 minutes, and all of a sudden you can make magic happen with the keys and the laptop? Are you an actor? Are you a gifted director? Do you know how to direct actors? So you see how all of these things begin to build your wealth, okay? That's the first level. What else do you got? What about your time? What kind of time do you have? Do you work a 40-hour a week job? Do you have to work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5? Well, guess that. What? That gives you from 5:01 to probably midnight that you could be making a movie. That's part of your wealth. It gives you your weekend. Maybe you're lucky. Maybe you do all of your work in a 3-day shift or a 4-day shift. Do you have a 3 or 4-day weekend? That's incredible. If you have a 3-day weekend every weekend, you can make all sorts of kind of movie magic happen. These are things that build your wealth. What is your time worth? Okay. A third area. Your talents. Where do you, and that kind of goes into your knowledge, but what are you good at? Can you do multiple things? Are you a director of photography, and an actor? That's awesome. You can get somebody, if you set all these camera settings, you can get somebody to move the camera. You can do that. So maybe you can act a little bit too. All of these things build a portfolio of wealth that has nothing to do with money. Now, does it take money to learn these things? Sometimes. Does it take money to acquire the equipment that you need? Absolutely. Do you have to have every single piece of equipment that's on a grip truck list to make a movie? No. No, you do not. You don't need a grip truck full of lighting to make a good movie. All right. I know guys that every day have gone out, they go to Home Depot, get themselves a $20 rack of lights, they go to the Goodwill, buy a couple of little things, spend some time in the workshop with a sewing needle, they make diffusers, and they light their movies with those lights. Or, you know, they just write films that happen to occur outside. They buy a $12 reflector or off of Amazon, or if they don't want to go to that expense, they go to the dollar store and pick up a piece of white foam core board, wrap one side in tin foil, and then they make a reflector so they can reflect sunlight, and all of a sudden, they've got lighting. They just happen to do everything outside. Okay, so that it comes with knowledge and time. And guess what? Generally, you can go to any library, and internet is free. Okay, so you can research how to do all this stuff on the cheap. Does that take time? Yes, but if you have a wealth of time, you have a wealth of time to learn. And that way you can learn, so that increases your wealth of knowledge. Okay? All these things will allow you to make better films. And once you get to where you can make better films, you can make the micro-budget thing work for you. Now, what does that mean? You have to make films. Okay? Maybe you don't know how. Maybe you desperately want to, but you A, don't have the knowledge, and B, you don't have the equipment. Okay? But you still want to be part of the process. So get on Facebook. Get on your social media. Find out who's making movies and what they need. Are you going to go flip burgers, run craft service, and run errands for people for a little while? Yes, but take those opportunities. Okay? I know how to make a movie. I can do it. I could, if you gave me a good script and I had the time to do it, I could go out and make a film in a couple of weekends and then edit it in a couple of more and have you a decent film inside of 2 months. That's completely doable for me. Okay? And I know how to do each part of the process. But I am perfectly willing to go work on a bigger budget set with more experienced professionals than me in the lowest job I can possibly get, because I can learn something. That's what I did over December, over my Christmas break. I was actually working on a movie. I was working on the movie Bad Blood with Fred Olen Ray, and was very blessed to get to watch that whole process. Working on more of an independent film level budget. It still wasn't, you know, what we would consider a big budget Hollywood film, but it definitely had more money than I've spent on a film behind the film. And I got to learn. And I was a PA, which meant anybody on that set at any time could tell me to go do something and I was expected to go do it. But I learned. I learned so much by watching the director of photography and all of the gaffers and watching Fred direct and watching the actors do their thing, because they brought Hollywood actors in. And I got to learn so much. Now, I did get paid. It did, and I was working my other job at the same time. So I would go and put in 16-hour days on Bad Blood and then drive back to Louisville from Bardstown, Kentucky, which is about an hour, hour and a half. I'd sleep for maybe 20 minutes and then go to work at UPS. And I did that for 2 weeks straight so that I could gain that knowledge. And I logged a lot of miles on the road, let me tell you. But every one of those miles, though I was driving back and forth in a line from Bardstown to Louisville, every one of those miles was a step closer on my journey to becoming A, a better filmmaker, and B, a professional filmmaker, so that I'm doing this full time, because that's my goal. You know, I don't need to be famous. I said this to somebody the other day. If you go into filmmaking thinking you're going to be famous, you're going into it for the wrong reasons. Okay? Don't seek 15 minutes of fame. Seek a lifetime of notoriety. Be good at your job. Okay? If fame is going to find you, fame will find you. You can't be worried about that. Worry about honing your craft. Worry about the art of what you're doing. And then it will come to you. You have to work hard for it. And you know, there are no overnight success stories. It's a myth. You find me any person that became an overnight success, I'll show you 5 years of work that got them there. Okay, with the exception of some of the child stars, but they don't last very long. There's not longevity. I want longevity in my career, and that's what you should want too. Okay, and I don't care what level you're at, you can be at a higher level, and you can have more longevity in your career. But you have to work for it. We all have to work for it. Nothing is easy, and that's just a fact of life. It doesn't matter if you're in corporate, if you're a lawyer, a doctor, a business official, or a filmmaker. Nothing is easy. We have to work for what we get. Okay? The guys that walk around and, you know, hand out the silver spoons and, you know, oh, here's your career, Herschel. No, I work for it. I don't want somebody to hand me my career. I want to work for it. I want to know that when I get to that mountaintop, it was my blood, sweat, and tears that got me there. Now, if I get a helping hand and somebody wants to pick me up in a helicopter and take me a few thousand feet, I will take that ride. But I want to know that at the end of the day, if I hadn't climbed the first 1,000 feet, that helicopter ride to the second 1,000 feet wouldn't have happened. That's where we have to be. And that's how your wealth will help you. Your wealth of knowledge, your wealth of time, your wealth of talent will carry you through the hard times when there is no money. Now, when there are finances behind you, that just makes everything easier. That makes your wealth of stress go away. When you are working on other people's films, you're also building up a wealth of one other thing that is critical for micro-budget filmmakers, and that is a wealth of favors. Okay? I have built my career thus far on bartering favors to people. I barter color correction off of this guy so I can come and be the first AD on that person's project. I barter visual effects work from this guy who's good at that because he needs me to come DP his film. And not that he can't do it, but he would rather somebody else take a look at it. And sometimes it's not even that somebody else can do the job better than you. Sometimes you just need to not do it so that you can focus on one job. And that's what I tried to do with Tremor. I tried to bring in people that would help me. And if you're new to the show, Tremor is one of my short films. It's the film that I'm currently marketing right now. It's a short film we shot DSLR last summer. It was my test to find out if I liked DSLR filmmaking or not. I brought in a lot of people to work on that film that I had never worked with to do certain jobs. I brought in a person to be a Steadicam operator and to work the camera so I could focus on directing for once in my life. I brought in a person to record sound so I wasn't stressing about it. And it's not that I couldn't do those jobs, but I found people that could do it better. And all those jobs, I found people to do that work for me for free, with the understanding that when they need my services with what I can do, which sometimes that's finding people to be actors, sometimes that's actually showing up and running a camera, sometimes they may want me to come and direct something that they wrote. I understand that I have bartered favors with those people, and favors are hugely valuable. You can get amazing mileage out of favors. Also, working on other films that you are not necessarily making yourself allows you to get contacts. Okay, so I went out and I worked on Bad Blood, and now I know I have more Hollywood contacts because some of the crew that came to work on that film were Hollywood people. They work in LA all the time. I also made more contacts with people in the Louisville market who saw me work, know that I can do a certain amount of work. I saw them work. I know they can do their thing, so we will work with each other in the future. And it's, you know, it's all about getting that business card, getting that extra contact in your phone, making sure you have the connections. Are you going to use them right that second? Maybe not. But maybe you're going to use it 6 months down the line. Maybe it's a year and a half down the line. You'll find a way. And the wealth of contacts, there's more wealth. So what all have we talked about so far? Just to recap, we've talked about wealth of knowledge, wealth of time, wealth of talent, wealth of favors, and now wealth of contact. So your contacts will allow you to have wealth. Okay? Maybe it's somebody that you know that can act. Maybe it's somebody that you know that's a contact of yours that does After Effects. Maybe it's Soundtrack Pro, Logic. Maybe it's Premiere. Maybe you need something done in Motion, Shake. You have these contacts that know how to do this stuff. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they're just a contact who can put you in contact with somebody else. Maybe that's the favor that you get, is that they recommend you to a person who can do the work that you need. So it all builds your wealth. And your contacts can also be people that have things. Maybe you have you work on somebody's film, and now you have a contact with somebody who has a 16-foot camera crane that you happen to need for the first shot in your film. Maybe you happen to meet a contact of somebody who has a good sound rig, or you meet somebody who can you know, has that equipment. You can't always have every piece of equipment. I don't own every piece of equipment I need. But through all the work I've done, I have the contacts to get it. I can get it. A lot of times I can get it for free, and most of the time I can get it definitely cheap. And that is extremely valuable. So you put all five of those things together, and you may have to look at yourself in a new light. You might be the Norman Rockefeller of micro-budget filmmaking. You have got so much wealth. You have so much micro-budget filmmaking wealth that you are just dripping with it, and you're ready to give it away. Which is what we always seek to do here at the Film Aspire podcast, is to share the knowledge that we have gained. And I say we because we is Catherine. It's all of my contacts that work with me. And we realize here that we would not be where we are if somebody hadn't given us their knowledge. I know for a fact I would not be where I am today had I not acted for so long, learned so much about the process of acting and directing actors. I've had the privilege of being directed by some truly talented individuals. I have gotten to watch them work. I know I would not be sitting here without the mentors that have given of their time and their knowledge to teach me things. I know I would not be here able to talk to you about what I'm talking to you about without the wealth of knowledge that you can find right on the internet. And yeah, I would not know how to turn After Effects on were it not for Andrew Kramer and the folks at Video Copilot. I still am not proficient. I would not ever call myself an After Effects artist, but if I have to get something done, I can at least show somebody what I want it to look like so that they don't have to come up with something from scratch. That was one of the things I just had done with Tremor. I had a couple people look at Tremor, and they said the visual effects work that I did was not quite up to snuff, which I agreed. But unfortunately, my visual effects guy's house burned down, and he lost his computer, so I had to take care of it to get it out to a couple of individuals. Now I'm a couple months away from that situation, and he's gotten his computer back and working and functioning, and he said, hey, you still need those effects? I said, hey, if you're willing to do it, let's do it. So I actually spent most of yesterday at that individual's home, which is thankfully repaired, and we got these new effects, so I've got new effects dropped in, and I'm going to redo it again. Okay, so there's the wealth of time that I have. That's a wonderful thing about being a micro-budget filmmaker. You're not under a strict time schedule. You should keep yourself on some kind of a schedule, but you don't have to adhere to a specific schedule put out by a studio. So though I thought Tremor was done, I had an opportunity to make it better. And we actually talked about it in the last podcast, not being a slave to perfection. This isn't an issue of being a slave to perfection. This is a issue of I had to settle for good enough, which I don't like to do. Good enough doesn't work for me. I want it to be good. The effects were good enough, but there were things that I hadn't thought about and that my visual effects supervisor would have thought about because he does that. That's what he does. It's his job. So he was able to bring a whole new fresh set of eyes to some effects, and they look so much better now. I'm so excited. I've got to get my color correction guy back in here so he can color correct this new footage and we can get the DVD out. Oh, wait. You mean I don't do my own color correction? No, I don't. I'm red-green deficient. I'm partially colorblind. I have no business color correcting. Now, I know there are some people out there that will say, you know, you can do it numerically, but I don't understand how that works. And with my life, I have to focus on certain things, so I don't have time to focus on color correction. And you know what? That's fine. There are people out there that love to do that. It's what my mentor always told me, is that, Herschel, there's a reason, there's a job in the credits called colorist. Let the people who like to color things color it. Okay? So it's not something that I'm good at. I'm not good at sound. I tell people all the time, I can shoot for days, but don't hand me a sound recorder. I will not give you the sound that you need. I can do the job, but it's not going to be the best that you can get. But I know people that know how to do that, so that's my wealth. Okay, I could give you examples for hours and hours and hours, but I want to wrap this up before we hit the 20-minute mark here. So if you have questions, comments, or any topic suggestions for the show, please do email those to filmaspire@live.com. If you're in the New York City area, please do join the lovely Miss Furrow and I for our Auditions and Callbacks workshop, which will be taking place at Ripley Greer Studios on Saturday, April 14th from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. You can get information on registration for that workshop at actingforyourlife.org. I intended this to be a quick hit podcast, but you know what? We had a wealth of knowledge to give away today. So get your wealthy self out there and tell your story.